You're listening to The Oddscast, the original UFC betting podcast that's straight to the point. Hosted by leading MMA oddsmaker Nick Kalikas and MMA journalist Brian Heminger, they provide you the absolute best UFC betting info, picks, statistics, and analysis from the most respected authority in mixed martial arts betting, MMAoddsbreaker.com. Don't place your wagers without us.
Welcome to the Oddscast, presented by BetDSI. I'm Brian Heminger, joined today by leading mixed martial arts oddsmaker Nick Kalikas to break down this Saturday's UFC on ESPN Plus 7 event, which takes place in St. Petersburg, Russia. If you're unfamiliar with our format, Nick and I will break down the fight card from top to bottom, providing extensive analysis and a pick for each fight after doing our film study for the event. Looking back at our last event, Kyle Marley won one unit on his free bet for UFC 236 on Belal Muhammad. He had a clean sweep of the event with his premium picks as well included for plus 18 units. Kyle's been on fire with his bets, and you can purchase them and his fantasy MMA picks, which are available now on MMAoddsbreaker.com. Back to the present, UFC on ESPN Plus 7 features a 12-fight card in total and will be aired on ESPN 2 and ESPN Plus this Saturday morning and afternoon. Let's dive right in. Now, kicking things off on ESPN 2 is a lightweight contest between Magomed Mustafayev, who is 13-3, and Rafael Fiziev, who is 6-0. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Mustafayev opened minus 180, the comeback on Fiziev at plus 140. And right now, looking over at our sponsored sportsbook, BetDSI.eu. As always, make sure you guys go over and show BetDSI some love. Right now at BetDSI, we have Fiziev actually the favorite at minus 120, the comeback on the other side around even money. So more action coming in Fiziev's way. I understand it. I mean, honestly, I know he's kind of an unknown commodity. A lot of unknowns and a lot of debuting fighters are coming in on this card in Russia. So this should be an exciting card from top to bottom. I think we're going to see a lot of finishes and a lot of excitement going on because there's, you know, some raw people coming in with maybe not as much experience against some savvy vets and vice versa. So should be a fun card at least. And in this matchup here, I mean, Mustafayev is definitely somebody that we know a little bit more of. Obviously he's had a few fights now in the UFC. And he looked okay in most of them. I mean, I think the one over Hallman actually, he was fortunate to get that win. And I was expecting a lot better for Mustafayev, honestly, throughout his career thus far in the UFC. He did get the knockout win over Proctor, but he followed up getting beat down pretty much and submitted by Kevin Lee. That was an interesting fight for a while, but Lee definitely showed his dominance there. So in my opinion, Mustafayev, a very well-rounded fighter in his own right. He's strong. He's capable of getting the fight to the ground a lot of times. He's capable of knocking you out. He's capable of submitting you. But he does have some flaws in his game. It's that submission defense at times, obviously. It's the lack of striking defense at times as well. And I think he does tend to slow down as the fight goes on. I think Fiziev is a little bit more solid from what we're seeing. Again, his resume is not as impressive as Mustafayev's for sure. But, I mean, as far as this guy's kind of a shorter, stockier person, he's got a lot of power. He shows good balance and agility so far. Again, level of competition that he's been going up against is a lot weaker, but overall, I do like what I see on the feed. He's explosive. He's powerful. He can get some takedowns and he's very aware on the ground as well. So I think he's just very solid overall. And this is a big step up in competition, but I think it's one that he can definitely take and win. So out of the two, from what I've gathered so far, honestly, I've been more impressed with Fiziev and I think he's going to come in and show that he's capable of winning fights in the UFC as well. So I do get it at the plus money. Everybody gobbled up on Fiziev. I do think that's the right side. And I think he does come away with a win here. And even at pick and price, I think he should be a small favorite. So there might still be a little bit of value left. Now, again, it's going to be a step up in competition. So be cautious out there. It's not a huge wager if you're going to bet it. But I think Fiziev is the right side. And I'm going to pick him to win this fight.
This fight's really interesting because Mustafayev was a guy that had, you know, a bit of momentum, winning his first couple UFC fights against decent opponents. And he was actually landing some good body kicks against Kevin Lee. But then he obviously got taken down. He got choked out. And he hurt his arm in that fight, and he has fought since, and that was November of 2015. So it's been quite a while, or 2016, I mean, but it's been a long time, 2.5 years since he's competed inside the cage, and that's a long time. I mean, I'm starting to not become quite as much of a believer in ring rust, but I mean, this is ridiculous. So extended hiatus here for Mustafayev. And I mean, he's 30 now. I mean, he was a bit of a young gun at the time. And now, you know, he's older and, you know, there's a lot of, unknowns with him heading into this bout, but, Fiziev is ferocious. I mean, he's a really talented, fighter out of the Tiger Muay Thai gym, has hundreds of amateur Muay Thai bouts and like 50 professional fights outside of MMA. So, I mean, this guy is a talented striker, very dangerous. And he actually has, pretty good, ground skills as well. So, I mean, he's well-rounded, dangerous fighter. So I'm really, really interested to see how he looks in his octagon debut. I mean, you would think a lot of guys making their UFC debut might be, you know, a little nervous and tentative at times, or maybe they, you know, have a huge adrenaline dump after the first round. But I think Fiziev, with all that experience, I think he'll be just fine. I think it'll be more Mustafayev that'll be nervous after having not fought in so long. So, I think, Fiziev is going to have some success here. Even though Mustafayev is a talented striker, I think Fiziev can hang right with him. I think Fiziev has just as much power. And I think with, Fiziev, you know, having so much striking experience and having fought a lot more often recently, I think he's going to be able to lock in and get comfortable in the cage way earlier than Mustafayev. So I think Fiziev gets going. I think Mustafayev is probably going to have a really slow start. I think Fiziev takes advantage of it. I wouldn't be shocked to see Fiziev take Mustafayev out early in this fight. So my pick's going to be Fiziev. Now, moving up to the light heavyweight division, we have Gadzimurid Antigulov, who is 20-5, taking on Michael Oleksaychuk, who is 13-2. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Oleksaychuk open -170, Antigulov +130. Right now, what you're seeing over at BetDSI is Oleksaychuk -208 to come back on Antigulov at +182. So line margins have tightened up, a little bit more action coming in on Oleksaychuk here. I'm not really that surprised. I think a lot of people that were on the Antigulov train kind of got off it based on his last performance. Now, of course, it was against Kudalaba, and I think Kudalaba is actually a very good, solid, up-and-coming fighter. So it is what it is. It wasn't a bad loss, in my opinion, even though it did end the way it did at the end of the round one. But I guess a very solid opponent, I'm saying. So, I mean, Oleksaychuk could very easily also suffer a loss to the hands of somebody like Kudalaba as well, is what I'm getting at. So that said, the way these guys match up should be interesting. Antigulov, obviously, his path to victory is the ground. This guy is a stud on the ground. His submission skill, he gets around your neck and it's over. With his power and technique to go along with it, man, the guy's a beast. He does have some power on the feet as well, but that's not where he wants to play with Oleksaychuk here. Oleksaychuk does have a significant advantage on the feet. He's going to have a big reach advantage as well. He's a southpaw, so there's a lot to like about Oleksaychuk here. I think he can pick Antigulov apart on the feet, and he can have a lot of success there. So it's going to come down to whether he can stuff the takedowns and keep this fight upright, and his submission defense does hold up. Because I think as this fight progresses, Oleksaychuk can take over, even if he gets in some tough times early on in this fight, and then it'll show that he is the better striker, and he is probably going to come away with the win here. So it's a tough one. I don't necessarily agree with betting this at over 2-1 because Antigulov, I mean, he might be considered more of a one-trick pony, but that one trick is very devastating. So, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked at all if he does get this fight to the ground and submits Oleksaychuk. So it's one of those situations, I think, that you got to be careful out there. Oleksaychuk, in my opinion, is the better overall fighter right now. So I'm going to pick him to win, and I think he can get it done. But as far as betting this one, I would definitely approach this with caution here.
And I'm going to side the other way. I mean, I completely understand that Oleksaychuk is the superior striker. We saw that Antigulov is just not that dangerous on the feet in his fight against Kutalaba. I mean, granted, he survived it, but still, I mean, you just don't want to get into a slugfest with a guy like Kutalaba. I think that was a very poor fight IQ choice. He needed to get that fight to the floor if he had any chance of winning. So if he does that same strategy, he has no chance of winning, but I'm hoping that that was a lesson learned. I mean, he would be coming off a long layoff, and hopefully he comes out here this time a lot more aggressively trying to get this fight to the floor, because Oleksaychuk, you know, he survived on the feet in the first round against Khalil Roundtree and ended up turning the tides and winning a decision. And then most recently had that, really impressive performance picking up that first round body kick victory. So I really have to say that if this stays standing, Antigulov has no chance. But Oleg Sejic isn't exactly a world beater in terms of his takedown defense or his ability on the ground. We haven't seen much of it in the UFC yet because he hasn't faced guys that were really trying desperately to take him to the floor. But Antigulov is really nasty when he gets fights to the canvas. He has a strong submission game, good top control. He can get a ground and pound victory if he wants, and he definitely can get a submission. So it's just going to boil down to whether or not Antigulov can close that distance, get inside that reach of Oleg Sejic, and get this fight to the floor. And I think he does. And I think that once he does get it to the floor, I think he can submit Oleg Sejic. But again, if he can't, he's in big trouble. But my pick is going to be Antigulov. Now, moving up to the heavyweight division, we have Marcin Tybura, who is 17-4, taking on Shamil Abdurakhimov, who is 19-4. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Tybura opened minus 185, Abdurakhimov at plus 145. And right now, looking over at BetDSI, Tabura's down at minus 143. The comeback on Abdurakhimov is at plus 126. So line margins have tightened up. Again, you get reduced juice over at BetDSI. So not bad line margin there. And with that said, this is going to be a competitive fight. I understand that there is two-way action coming into this fight for a reason. I mean, I think that it will be a back-and-forth type of fight. Both of these guys have definitely showed some good in the heavyweight division thus far in the UFC, and I think both of these guys have shown they're capable of being kind of in the upper tier of those heavyweights. Now, heavyweight division, as we all know, honestly, from top to bottom, is a bit weaker. It's one of the weaker divisions in the UFC. So that said, these guys have had success over, I'd say, you know, decent competition, but not as up to par as some of the other weight classes, obviously. So that said, I think these guys are a little bit more flawed, and we've seen that at times in their careers as well. So in this matchup, man, I mean, I think on the feet, you got to think that Tybura should win the technical striking battle here, but I think Abdurakhimov does have some power, so Tybura has to be careful. I mean, we've seen him get clipped now and in some trouble, and of course, that's been later as the fight goes, and Abdurakhimov is a bit chinny in his own right at times, but both these guys are definitely tough veterans that I think will give each other a challenge here. It comes down to, I think, who approaches this fight with a good game plan and gets it done here. Tybura has better takedown defense overall. I think it's going to be difficult probably for Abdurakhimov to get him to the ground. So on the feet, like I said, I think Tybura basically outpoints him a little bit in a very competitive back and forth type of battle. So not really confident here. I mean, I would not necessarily agree to land, you know, some chalk against Tybura here. I know he bounced back and got a win over Struve, which was much needed, but Abdurakhimov has looked pretty decent in his own right, I think, overall. And I think he does tend to get a little bit undervalued at times as well. So I think that, again, he's going to probably show off and perform a bit better. Now he's got a couple wins on his resume as well, getting some momentum and confidence. So I think he's going to show up and fight, and this is going to be far more competitive than people realize. So I do, again, understand the two-way action. For me, as far as a pick goes, I'm going to slightly lean towards Tybura here, but again, it's not another confident pick, honestly, because I think Abdurakhimov can open some eyes here and be far more competitive than most people think. So the pick is Tybura to win, but another tough spot to bet.
Yeah, this fight's intriguing. I mean, I like Tybura mainly because I think that he has a little bit of a better ground game. I think that if it goes to the floor, he has the edge, whether it's top position or submissions. And on the feet, while I do think that Abdurakhimov could have the edge if it goes to the clinch or maybe even just in the boxing range, Tybura has that those really nice head kicks that he can fall back on. He's already proven that he can pick up some knockout victories with those, that, and he's had some decent success on the feet as well. So I think on the feet, this is relatively close, and with Tybura having a little bit more finishing ability, and then if it goes to the ground, I think Tybura has the edge as well. I mean, Abdurakhimov has definitely been in there against some tough guys and had some quality performances, but he's also had some fights where he's had some really perplexing performances. Like if he gets stuck on his back, he can have some real trouble, like what happened to him against Timothy Johnson and Derek Lewis. So if Tybura can get him on the ground, I think Abdurakhimov could be in big trouble. But on the feet, I think it'll be a lot more competitive. But I also think that Tybura, especially with those head kicks, that could really help him out here. So I think this fight will be competitive. I think Abdurakhimov definitely, especially, you know, with this being in Russia, will have that little extra bit of motivation. But I also think that Tybura is just the better fighter with a little bit more danger, and the threat of the finish from different areas compared to Abdurakhimov, who I think is going to have to grind this out a little bit with a lot of clinch work and just pushing a stronger pace on the feet and maybe trying to get some points. So I'm going to side with the guy that I think gets the finish, and I think that that is Marcin Tybura. Now, dropping down to the lightweight division, we have Alexander Yakovlev, who is 24-9-1, taking on Alex Da Silva, who is 20-1. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Yakovlev open minus 130, the comeback on Da Silva minus 110. Right now, what you're seeing over at BetDSI is Yakovlev minus 133, Da Silva plus 119. This is an interesting fight. Obviously, Yakovlev been off a little while, and he's dropping back down to 155 pounds now after suffering two very respectable losses to the hands of the current welterweight champion in Usman. And of course, Zach Cummings in his last fight as well. So I think we could give Yakovlev a pass in those losses. I mean, a lot of people would lose to those great welterweights as well. So again, this is back at 155 pounds where he's had some success, including a win over former UFC champ, Gray Maynard. So I think that Yakovlev, his wrestling style and the grinding pace that he sets. I mean, his striking is not that bad, but where it's at with him is definitely getting the takedowns and controlling fights and grinding out wins over people. So I think he's capable of doing that. His sub defense overall, even though he got submitted against Cummings in his last fight, I think has been pretty solid, and he's not an easy guy to submit. So I think that's kind of a rare case these days, at least. His improvement is definitely noticeable now. But that said, he's facing a finisher in Da Silva. So Da Silva making his UFC debut. There is a lot of hype behind him. He is taking this fight on short notice. This guy is a very solid fighter. I mean, like I said, he's a finisher. On the feet or the ground, this guy is very capable of ending fights. And again, he's been hyped. A lot of people are looking forward to, you know, his debut here. He's a young fighter. There's a lot to like about him. I think on the feet, he can give Yakovlev some problems, even though he's going to be a little bit shorter. I think he's the better and more dangerous striker. On the ground, though, I think is where this fight's going to probably play out. And I think Yakovlev is going to do enough to probably get this fight to the floor and control Da Silva. But he's got to be cautious and not get, you know, caught up in Da Silva likes to sweep transitions and gets top position at times as well. He's very capable on the ground as well, but I have seen some weaknesses in his game thus far, and it is being controlled at times on the ground. And I think Yakovlev kind of is the type of guy to do that as well. So another tough fight, another tough call here, but I do lean a little bit more towards Yakovlev in this fight. I think he will probably do enough to control this fight as it goes. And if he doesn't basically get finished in this fight, I think he does grind out the win on the cards, or maybe even gets a late finish in his own right. So my personal lean is Yakovlev here, but it should be a fun fight.
I'm a little concerned about Yakovlev just because he's been injured for an out, hasn't fought in 29 months, but I also think that rust is a bit overrated. So that's, I'm interested with the fact, I'm more concerned about actually a fighter stepping in on super short notice. And Alex Da Silva is stepping in here for Teemu Pakelin on 3 weeks' notice. So Silva is dangerous. He has a pretty good striking ability. I feel like he can be the better striker here for sure. Yakovlev does have some decent boxing skills and a little bit of pop in his hands. So, I mean, he's capable of beating some people on the feet, but I don't know if he'd beat Da Silva. That being said, really what makes Yakovlev tick is when he can get his wrestling going. And when he's fighting at 155 pounds, he's a very dangerous wrestler with the ability to get a lot of takedowns. So, I mean, I'm a little concerned that he might have lost a step a little bit, having not fought in so long. But if he can settle in and time those takedowns properly and get a hold of Da Silva and drag him to the floor, I think he's going to be in great shape. That being said, if he gets stuck on the feet and has to telegraph takedown attempts and Da Silva can really get into a rhythm, I'd be concerned. But I think Yakovlev, especially fighting in Russia, I think he's going to be inspired. I think he's going to come out really aggressive. I think he gets those takedowns and he might even get a finish with his ground game. So I'm going to side with Alexander Yakovlev here. I think he gets the job done in his mother Russia. Now, moving up to the welterweight division, we have Sultan Aliyev, who is 14-3, taking on Keita Nakamura, who is 34-9-2. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Aliyev open minus 130, the comeback on Nakamura minus 110, and right now, looking over at BetDSI, we're seeing minus 108 for Aliyev, the comeback Nakamura at -104. This is another fight that's kind of been bouncing around a little bit, and there is two-way action coming in this fight. It's an interesting fight. Across the market, it looks like it's about a pick-em fight, too, on the Don Best screen. So a difficult one. I mean, another spot where I think Aliyev has definitely disappointed throughout his UFC career thus far. I was expecting a lot better from him. I mean, the guy is a powerful guy. He's got, you know, some power, obviously, on the feet, but wrestling and his grinding style is definitely his best attribute. And he definitely has that wrestling advantage and the power advantage over a guy like Nakamura here in this spot. So that's what he's going to look to do. I think overall, Nakamura is not really known for striking. He's more of a grappler, more of a grinder in his own right. But I think here out of the two, Aliyev probably gets him in that category. So Nakamura's best chance is actually to sprawl, keep this fight upright, and work his improving striking. I mean, we're seeing Nakamura definitely get better with his boxing, and he's going to have a striking advantage over Aliyev in this fight here. Nakamura showed us a lot of heart, and I think he's actually overachieved. So in my opinion here, we have Aliyev who's kind of underachieved against a guy that's been around the sport for a long time. Those guys that know what I'm talking about with Nakamura dating back to Japan. I mean, this guy's been, you know, fighting for a while, and he deserves to be in the spot that he's in. So I'm glad he's overachieved since he's come into the UFC this late in his career. It's a tough one, man. I mean, like I said, it all depends on who implies and imposes their will the most. And I think it's probably going to be Aliyev here, but it's hard to trust him. I mean, it's definitely hard to lay chalk on either one of these guys at this point, especially in this matchup. But I'm going to slightly lean towards Aliyev because I do think he's got that grinding edge, and I think he's going to basically outbully Nakamura just a little bit more. But it definitely will get interesting at times. But my pick is Aliyev.
And I completely understand the pick of Aliyev. I mean, he does have pretty strong wrestling game. If he can get it going, he's huge. At 175 pounds, he can be very physical at times, but my main issue with him is he likes to stand too much, and he is not a good striker, even though he does have some power. I mean, he really just looks awkward, and I mean, there's just not much technique involved when he's throwing on the feet. So I'm definitely concerned if that's what Aliyev's game plan is to go out there and slug it out a little bit, because Nakamura actually is a pretty good technical striker. He has solid boxing foundation. And if it does go to the floor, yeah, I do think Aliyev is the better wrestler, but Nakamura has a very good ground game. He can get some sweeps. He might be able to get a submission. Unlikely, but it's possible. So, I understand that Aliyev is capable of winning this fight, especially if he can get those takedowns and use that physical strength and hold top position. But other than that, I think Nakamura is going to be potentially lighting Aliyev up on the feet. And there's definitely opportunities for Nakamura to get things going if it does go to the ground, just because he has that strong grappling foundation. So that being said, I'm concerned about the Aliyev wrestling, but I'm going to go with my gut here. And I think that Nakamura can do enough damage on the feet to make this an interesting fight. And I think Nakamura can actually potentially win a decision, if not stop Aliyev along the way. So I'm going to side with Nakamura here. Now moving on to the main event of the preliminary card, we have Movsar Evloev, who is 10-0, making his UFC debut against fellow UFC newcomer Sungwoo Choi, who is 7-1. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Evloev, -305, Choi, +225. That was the opener. Right now, what we're seeing over at BetDSI, Evloev is -357, the comeback on Choi, +306. So line marks have tightened up. A little bit more action coming in Evloev's way. A lot of parlays getting thrown in Evloev as well. Not really that surprised either. I mean, this guy, talk about Russian hype, man. This guy is another one. I mean, he's young. He's talented. He's faced a pretty decent resume. I mean, coming from the M1 Challenge organization, and the guy's a very well-rounded fighter in his own right. So, of course, a lot of these Russians are, man. They come to fight for sure. I mean, obviously, a lot of them have a wrestling background. They're capable of getting the fight to the floor at times. I mean, Evloev has some pretty nice throws to go along with some of the takedown attempts that he does have. He's light on his feet. He's fast. He's effective. He does have a little bit, I don't know, at times it looks like he's got kind of T-Rex arms, so he might have a reach disadvantage against guys at 145 pounds at a time. But here in this one, I guess pure reach, it looks like he's only at a disadvantage of by 2 inches. I mean, Choi is the taller fighter. Yeah, he does have some length overall on Evloev here, but overall, I don't think that reach is going to be as big of a discrepancy as we think. Now, Choi, as a talented fighter in his own right. And you know what you get with guys coming in, you know, from that region. They come to fight, and Choi's another one of these guys that's talented. Like I said, he has some length. He does definitely has some good striking ability, especially in his clinch. I've been impressed with what I've seen with his knees and his elbow attacks. The guy is definitely talented, and he's capable of finishing fights. In fact, he only has one loss on his resume, and he recently redeemed that loss as well with a KO win of his own. So I think there's a lot to like about Choi, but here in this fight, I mean, it's tough to make your debut against another debuting fighter like Evalov because, I mean, the stylistic matchup, I think Choi's going to get outbullied here a little bit. I mean, the short notice probably doesn't help him either. And I think that's what we're going to see. The main difference is Evalov's going to be able to get this fight to the floor, push him against the cage and just kind of outgrind him and just kind of bully him along the way. But Choi will be game. He's a tough guy and he's going to come to fight for sure. But I think Evalov gets a late finish or just a dominating 29-28, but clear 29-28, 30-27 type of decision win. So it's hard not to pick Evalov here. But at the current price at around minus 350 or so, it's getting to the point where a debuting fighter against, like I said, a spark plug like Choi that does love to stand and bang, and he's going to stand and bang, and he's going to bring it for sure in this fight. Kind of tough to lay 3.5 right now, but it'll be a fun fight, and Evalov probably gets a win here.
Evalov is pretty well-rounded, but clearly ground game is his home. And if he does get stuck on the feet for lengthy periods of time, I mean, he could get himself in some trouble here. So Choi is a very talented striker, has good power in his hands, pushes a good pace. So I would definitely be concerned about Evloev if he decides to put on a show for the hometown fans. But I think he's smarter than that. I mean, the guy just has great ground game, great wrestling, strong top position. He takes people out on the canvas, and he's got a lot of strong, he was a champion in the M1 promotion, and this guy kind of reminds me of Peter Yan, except he's like the ground version, because Yan came into the UFC as a really well rounded, polished fighter that I thought immediately could be a contender in the bantamweight division. And I think Evloev is a guy that can do the same thing as long as he can keep getting fights to the floor, because I think there aren't a lot of people that can stop him. So this is an interesting fight, but I really favor Evloev to drag this to the ground and then just really put a hurting on Choi. And I think if it stays standing, Choi potentially could stop it, but if it goes to the ground, Evloev is probably going to get a stoppage as well. So I'm going to side with Evloev. I think he does close the distance, get this to the floor, and I think he gets the job done. So my pick is going to be Movsar Evloev. Now moving on to the ESPN Plus main card, we have a middleweight contest between Krzysztof Żatko, who is 19-4, and Alan Amadovsky, who is 8-0. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Żatko open minus 130, Amadovsky minus 110. And right now, looking for a BSI, we are seeing Żatko getting a little bit more love. He's minus 189 right now. The comeback of Amadovsky is at plus 167. So definitely the proven vet getting the action early on. Żatko is a very, very good fighter. I mean, honestly, he was a contender in middleweight division. I mean, he just suffered some unfortunate setbacks. I mean, he's definitely underperformed in my opinion. I mean, I was actually high on the guy as well. I thought he was going to definitely make himself a better fighter. We've seen the improvements, but coming in off three straight losses like he has, it's just, I don't know. I mean, there's something definitely going on. Of course, getting beat like he has against Tavares and Hall, getting, beat by punches, knockouts, whatever, losses, not good, man. I mean, his chin has definitely been exposed a little bit, and that is definitely a concern. I mean, he was a little bit more aggressive again against Tavares, which is good to see, because I think he was a little bit too tentative at times against Hall, which obviously, for obvious reasons there. But, I mean, again, he got caught, he got clipped, and his chin is not looking good right now. So Żatko, even though Tavares does have a lot of power, I'm not going to, take that away from him. But I still don't like what I've seen defensively from Żatko. He does have that tall man defense, and he's hittable. And the UFC's not throwing him a bone here. I mean, Amadovsky, what he does best is knock people out. So I think, obviously, if you're looking at his resume, I mean, he is a Bellator veteran. He does have a couple okay wins, but he really hasn't been tested. This is a huge step up in competition for Amadovsky. He's another one of these guys that's going to come in, look to kind of use his wrestling in reverse, keep this fight upright, and just knock people out. I mean, he's a slinger. He's aggressive. He likes to throw bombs, and that's exactly what you're going to get from him. I mean, he does have a bit of a ground game to go along with it. So he's not bad, but he's still not, I think, overall to the level of Żatko as far as skill set and, overall level of competition that he's faced, obviously, as well. So I think this is going to be a tough fight for Imadovsky. If he does not get the knockout win, he's going to lose this fight. Jotko's going to be able to control him. Jotko's going to win this fight. I mean, Imadovsky hasn't even been into the third round yet. So as this fight goes, it should bode a little bit better for Jotko in this spot as well. So it's hard not to pick Jotko in this fight. I'm going to lean his way slightly with the pick. But man, again, matchup wise, I mean, if you're the UFC, you see Jotko's kind of been, his chin's been tested recently and not passed the test. And then you're throwing him a knockout artist. I mean, obviously they're testing him out again here, and they could be setting him up to fail. So not a confident pick in Jotko right now. I'm off his wagon. I'm not sure what's going on with him, but he definitely needs to win this fight to get back on a roll and to prove that he does belong. I mean, version 2.0, as he calls it recently, let's see if that's actually true. And that's the case here. I'm going to pick Jotko to win, but not a confident pick.
And I completely understand siding with Jotko. I mean, he is the veteran. He's been there, done that, and everything, but I'm a little concerned about Jotko. I mean, I know he's still just 29 years old, but it just feels like he is on the way out almost after he's now lost 3 in a row, and they've been actually worse and worse losses each time. I mean, the Dave Branch fight was ugly, could have gone either way. And then Uriah Hall, he was winning that fight, and then he got just blasted and finished. And then this last fight against Tavares, I mean, he was just getting outclassed in that fight. And, you know, Nick said that Tavares has a lot of power, but I disagree. I mean, Brad Tavares hadn't really finished. I don't think he'd finished anybody since Phil Baroni in his career. I mean, the only time his fights had ever been finished was when he got caught. And when he finished, Baroni, I mean, that was way back in, it was a long time ago. 2011. That was his last finish. So I think that that speaks volumes for the fact that Jotko's chin is starting to go. Having 2 straight, TKO losses. And Imadovsky, I know that he hasn't faced really anybody. Even in his fights in Bellator, he didn't really face anybody that impressive. But when he got in there, he still just took them out. I mean, that last fight he had lasted 12 seconds. So, I mean, this guy has power. He's aggressive. He believes in himself. He's confident. And what's funny is he's actually the older fighter, even though he's coming in here as this young gun, hot prospect. He's 31 years old out of American Top Team Rome. And he's really intriguing prospect. I mean, yes, he's unproven against top competition, but I mean, this guy has that explosive power. He's athletic. I think if he can get inside and just crack Jotko, there's a good chance that he wins this fight. That being said, if Jotko can just slow down the pace, drag this out, he's got a great chance to win as well. Because, like Nick said, if this fight goes to decision, I mean, there's almost no chance that Imadovsky wins. I mean, the only way he wins is if he hurts Jotko in all 3 rounds and isn't able to put him away. But I think that's unlikely because I think he would gas himself out trying to finish Jotko after he hurt him. So it really, for me, it boils down to, does Jotko survive and win a decision or maybe a late finish, or does Imadovsky take him out quickly? And you know what? With just the way that Jotko's been performing, I am going to side with Imadovsky. I know that I'm sure Jotko is still clearly the favorite here, but and Imadovsky is stepping in on about a month's notice. But this is a kid that really believes in himself. He's got the power. He's got the speed. And I think that he can connect on Jotko's chin, and I think that he can win. So I'm going to side with Imadovsky. Now, dropping down to the women's flyweight division, we have Roxanne Modafferi, who is 22-15, taking on Antonina Shevchenko, who is 7-0. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Shevchenko opened -385, the comeback of Modafferi at +265. And right now what you're seeing over at BetDSI is Shevchenko -294, the comeback of Modafferi at +254. So line margins have tightened up, and there is 2-way action coming into this fight. But lately, I mean, early on it was all the way, it was going Shevchenko's way. Now lately we're seeing action come back on the dog Modafferi, which I don't disagree with. I know Shevchenko has a lot of respect, and I mean, her sister, I think, is pound for pound the best female fighter on the planet as far as mixed martial arts goes. Those of you guys that have heard me say that before, so I get it. But honestly, in this spot, it's tough because Antonina is not her sister, so she's a different fighter. She does definitely have some technical skill on the feet. which you would love to see. She has a developing ground game as well, so she's not a fish out of water. But that's the discrepancy here. I think it's basically, can Shevchenko keep it upright and pick Modafari apart? Because she definitely has the better striking, and she's going to be more effective overall, and she'll outpoint her. But the problem with me in this fight is Shevchenko doesn't have a ton of knockout power, and Modafari's a tough chick. I mean, we've known she's, you know, a warrior. She's been in this game for a long time. She's improved so much. How could you not love what you see in Modafari? And I'm glad, again, she's accomplished what she has, especially recently. I mean, she's getting some respect and some love from the UFC fans out there, which she deserves because she's been around the sport for a while. And like I said, I don't think she's ever been better, honestly. I know she's getting older and she might not officially be in her prime, but as far as skill and as far as utilizing her skill set, I think she's never been better. So this is going to be a tough fight for Shevchenko. I agree with the action coming in on the dog a little bit here. It's definitely a dog or pass situation. The line is still too high, around 3-1, because Modafari gets this fight to the ground. She's going to control this fight and she's going to win this fight, I think. So it all depends on how this plays out. Can Shevchenko keep Modafari at bay? Can she keep this fight upright? And can she utilize her striking skill to outpoint her? It's very possible. So I am going to lean Shevchenko's way, because if Modafari doesn't really have the best wrestling, but she does find a way to get the fight to the floor more times than not. So that's why I'm saying it's a dog or pass situation here, no doubt. I think the ground discrepancy alone is worth a stab at that price. There's no question about that. So I think Shevchenko, again, the marketing machine and everything that is adding up for this, obviously the UFC is kind of going to push Shevchenko more than Modafari at this point. Sad to say, but it's reality. I think it might backfire, though. Modafari might sneak away with the upset win here. So the pick is Shevchenko, but the bet, it's a dog or pass situation, and my money would go on Modafari.
Yeah, clearly Modafari is the more well-rounded fighter of the two, but my issue with her is I just don't trust her to be able to get this fight to the floor. I mean, she is one of the most unathletic fighters on the entire UFC roster, and I think with a dangerous striker like Antonina Shevchenko, Modafari is going to need to, you know, have that explosive ability to get inside and get her to the floor. And I just don't know if Modafari is going to be able to do that. Granted, Shevchenko is not exactly the type of fighter that sits on the outside and picks you apart with a jab. I mean, she's got that tremendous Muay Thai background. And when she gets going, she is, she likes to get things going on in the clinch. She likes to attack with all of her limbs, knees, elbows. So, I mean, if she's doing that, then maybe she's going to open up opportunities for Modafari to close the distance and maybe get a trip or drag the fight to the floor with a single leg or something. But that being said, I mean, I know that Modafari has really worked hard to improve her striking, but I mean, Shevchenko is a world champion Muay Thai striker, so I really don't see Modafari having a lot of success on the feet. I think Modafari could potentially get knocked out in this fight. I mean, Shevchenko is not like a super one-punch, one-hitter-quitter type of striker, but she can definitely accumulate some damage potentially in this fight. I mean, she beat a decent striker in her last fight, put on a pretty good performance. So all in all, I mean, Modafari needs to get this fight to the floor to win. And I'm just not convinced that she has the ability to do that. She's not facing someone that wants to go to the floor at all. Shevchenko clearly is getting better and better every time we see her. She's training with the best featherweight or flyweight female on the planet with her sister. And I expect that Shevchenko will be a little bit better this time around as well. And I think that the takedown defense holds up, and she probably outpoints Modafari, but if for some reason she does wind up on her back, Modafari's got over a decade's worth of elite grappling experience, and I think Shevchenko could be in big trouble. But I think she does keep it upright, and I think she does win at least a decision. Now, moving up to the light heavyweight division, we have Devin Clark, who is 9-3, taking on Ivan Shtyrkov, who is 15-0-1. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Shtyrkov open -185, the comeback on Clark +145. Right now, what you're seeing over at BetDSI, Shtyrkov is currently coming in -172, Clark +153, so line margins have tightened up a little bit. And there is two-way action coming in this fight a little bit as well. I mean, Shtyrkov, I mean, just looking at him physically, holy cow. I mean, this guy's a beast. I mean, for the light heavyweight division, he's definitely thick. He's powerful. And he has some skill to go along with that frame. I mean, it's crazy to look at this guy and think it's all natural, of course. But that said, I mean, hey, it is what it is. I'm sure USADA is going to be testing this guy like crazy. So we'll see what that comes up with. But that said, I mean, this guy is, like I said, a very powerful, dangerous opponent because he's the type of fighter that can beat you on the feet. He can knock you out. Obviously, he's got that kind of power, but he does have a ground game to go along with it. So everywhere it takes place, this guy's game. He's got decent takedown defense overall. So it's a tough out for Clark. I mean, Clark is one of these guys that's coming to the UFC again, and there was high expectations for him. I mean, Clark, Access TV vet. I mean, he's had some success. He's actually looked okay. I think he's one of those guys that's a little bit underrated throughout his career, but he does have some problems. And one of those problems, it's hard to trust, is that chin of Clark. And with Shakirov striking and hitting as hard as he does at times, and Clark having difficulties possibly to get this fight to the ground, I think that's why everybody's leaning a little bit more towards Shakirov in this fight. And I think that's probably going to play out where these guys will be scrapping back and forth. Clark is going to make it interesting because he's going to be going for those takedowns. And Clark's not a fish out of water on the feet either. It's just defensively, and a striking battle with Shakirov is not what he wants here in this spot. So I think that the knockout power and the matchup stylistically for Shakirov is probably going to get the win here. But again, another one you can't trust because I think he's a little bit overrated. And I think that obviously as he progresses in his UFC career, even if he does get the win over Clark, he's going to get exposed here quickly. So the pick is Shakirov to get the win over Clark, but again, not another confident one.
Yeah. Devin Clark is a fighter that is capable of winning this fight. I mean, he's added some takedowns to his game. His striking isn't terrible, but I'm pretty concerned about his chin. So I think if he stays standing, he could be in some big trouble. Shtyrkov is just a guy that he's really intriguing because, I mean, you look at his track record and he's faced some pretty talented fighters. I mean, going all the way back to some old school UFC guys like, Jeff Monson and Rico Rodriguez. And then, Antonio Silva, Phil DeFries, and former top guys in Bellator like Christian Mpumbu, like you go back to Dream and Phil Satoshi Ishii, and then most recently he beat Thiago Silva, Fabio Maldonado. I mean, it's fascinating to see all the guys, the UFC veterans and top guys that were outside the UFC that he didn't just face, but he beat every single one of them. He's gone 15-0 against these guys. And I'm impressed. I mean, yeah, he's still a bit sloppy, but, and he's a little wild and out of control, but I mean, he has some serious, power. And if he connects with Devin Clark is in big, big trouble because, I mean, you look at the times that Clark has lost and it's been times where he got hurt. Rakic was able to get, a TKO against him. Clark was actually looking really good against Alex Nicholson and then just boom, got clipped with 3 seconds left to go in the first round. And he got finished in that fight as well. So, I really think that if Clark gets caught, he's in huge trouble. I mean, Shtyrkov is a guy that has fought at heavyweight and he's dropping down. And Clark is a guy that has fought at middleweight and is sticking around at light heavyweight. So, I think Shtyrkov's going to be the bigger, stronger guy with more power, a better chin, and I'm just going to side with him. I think it's only a matter of time until one of his fists connects with Clark's, and I think Clark goes down for the count. So my pick is going to be Shtyrkov. Now, moving up to the heavyweight division, we have Sergey Pavlovich, who is 12-1, taking on Marcelo Gomes, who is 6-2. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Pavlovich opened -300, the comeback on Gomes +220. Right now, what we're seeing over at BetDSI is Pavlovich actually -250, the comeback on Gomes +216. Another one of these guys, Pavlovich, that has, I mean, Brian was just mentioning Shirkov with his impressive resume, beating a lot of veterans. Pavlovich has a decent resume, not to the point of that, of course, not as extensive as Shirkov's resume. But that said, Pavlovich has beaten some decent competition, but coming in, and I guess Overeem in his UFC debut, obviously a lot of high expectations, even just being in that spot. So again, a hype. This guy has some length. He's got some power. He's got a good resume overall, you know, and with that only one loss. So there's a lot to like about him. He's got the look. He's got the marketability. Obviously, this being in Russia. But I'll tell you what, the UFC didn't throw this guy a bone either. I think Gomes is actually going to give him all he wants and more. I mean, I should mention this as well. Our free pick on MMAoddsbreaker.com. Check it out. If you go there right now on our website, Kyle Marley did give out Gomes at +250. So the line's dropped a little bit since we gave it out. But Kyle Marley does seem some value in Gomes. And I do agree with Kyle as well. He picked the free play. I think there is some value, even around +200 in this spot. Because I think Pavlovich – he can win this fight, obviously, with his length, and he does have some knockout power. But to me, what the problem with Pavlovich is at times, he just doesn't let him go. He doesn't let his hands or his feet go enough. I mean, he's a little bit too tentative, and he takes his time, which can be good at times. But and he can be effective once he does let him go. But I think that's what's going to get him problems here. I think Golm is going to be able to strike with him, even though he's going to be at a huge reach disadvantage in this spot here as far as pure reach goes. Pavlovich definitely is going to have that advantage. But overall, I think Golm hits pretty hard. I don't trust Pavlovich's chin all that much. And then on the ground, obviously, there's a big discrepancy there as well. Golm is known more for his knockout power, and he likes to stand and bang. But he does have some wrestling. I think if he's smart, he's going to look to take this fight to the ground. And then on the ground, I think he is going to have a big edge. And he's proven that already to me. So Pavlovich is, you know, I don't know. I'm not sold on him. And again, that Overeem loss actually made me just kind of question him that much more. I mean, it was honestly a pretty pathetic performance overall. I was expecting a lot more from him. And I'm not just considering that. I'm just looking back at all the footage and everything you see. I just think stylistically, this is a tougher matchup for Pavlovich than people realize. And I think Golm is going to be possibly live dog here. So I'm actually going to pick Golm to win this fight straight out. So obviously there's some dog on this, and I think it's a dog or pass situation, dog value, I should say, on this fight. And I think it is a dog or pass situation. So maybe sprinkling a little bit of money on Golm is not a bad idea here against Pavlovich, even though this fight is geared towards him to win. I don't know. I think it's going to come back and bite the UFC with this matchup, and I think Golm's going to get the W. So I'm picking him to win.
And I can understand picking Golm. I mean, he's 26 years old. He's getting better every time we see him. I mean, he was really raw when he first debuted in the UFC and actually got a win in that first fight. And then since then, he's actually lost his last two fights by decision, but we're seeing some glimpses. I mean, he's got some power. He's big. He's strong. He can wrestle a little bit. He's got some heavy ground and pound, potentially a little submission threat. But I think Pavlovich is a talented fighter. His UFC debut did not go well. People were actually picking him to beat Alistair Overeem. And I think that was a little bit much, but you got to think that, yeah, he didn't do well against Overeem, but Overeem is a guy that's fought for the UFC championship. He's been a champion in other places. He's headlining this event. I mean, he's a guy that's been in there against some of the best in the world. And I think that was asking a bit much for Pavlovich's UFC debut, even if he was on a huge unbeaten streak. And I know that Golm's still dangerous, but in terms of skill level, I mean, this is a tremendous step down. So if Pavlovich can at least just bring that intensity that people were expecting for him to bring against Overeem and perform against Golm, I think that he should be able to win this fight. I mean, Pavlovich is the better technical striker. Maybe Golm could be pushing a bit of a higher tempo on the feet because, again, Pavlovich does at times sit back and let his opponent dictate things. Golm might be able to take this fight to the floor, which would be a bit of a concern if he can get top position and do some damage. But overall, I think that Pavlovich is still the better fighter of the two. I think that he's more technical. I think that he does still have some good power. I think that he's capable of getting a finish. I think he can do some damage if he can connect with Golm. I think he's going to have a speed advantage potentially. So I understand why people are fading him because he did perform so poorly, but you just have to remember that was against Overeem, and now he's facing someone that is not even close to as good as Overeem. So I'm going to side with Pavlovich. I think that he does get the job done, especially, you know, he is fighting on his home turf here. I think he's going to be inspired, and I think that Pavlovich potentially could finish Golm, but I more than likely think that just like how Golm has performed his last two fights, I think it could end up in a decision loss for Golm. So I'm going to go with Pavlovich by decision. Now moving on to the co-main event of the evening in the lightweight division, we have Islam Makhachev, who is 16-1, taking on Armin Tsarukyan, who is 13-1. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Makhachev opened minus 475, the comeback on Tsarukyan at plus 325. And right now what you're seeing over at BetDSI is Makhachev still a very solid favorite at minus 312, the comeback on Tsarukyan at plus 267. So again, line margins have tightened up, more dog action coming in on this fight here. Man, I can't blame people for taking a stab at Sarukian at this spot. I mean, what a stud he is. I mean, wrestling background, explosive, good striking, excellent overall ground skill, solid BJJ. This guy's a beast everywhere, man. I mean, if you watch him fight, it's very impressive in all areas. I mean, he can knock you out on the feet. Another one of these well-rounded, very complete Russians that have, I mean, a total skill set that's just improving. So this is going to be interesting because Sarukian is the one that usually has the wrestling advantage in fights. And that, I think that's what this is going to come down to. I know Makachev has been very impressive, especially recently. I mean, this guy, I think is one of the top lightweights on the roster right now. And he's proven that. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see him keep moving up the ladder and another win over a guy like Sarukian. He could definitely be knocking on the title contender's door. So we'll see what happens there. But Makachev, again, a very dominant grappler in his own right. Very effective. His striking's not bad. Defensively, of course, I mean, that is a bit of a concern. He's hittable. He's got knocked out in the UFC. We know that against Martins, which can, I mean, he throws bombs. So again, it is what it is with that. But that is probably a path to victory for Sarukian to basically exploit. If he can keep this fight upright, use his wrestling in reverse and just try to land a bomb on Makachev, because he is definitely, I think he's the more technical striker of the two. I think he's definitely got the more effective strikes as well. But Makachev is going to have some size on him, though. I mean, as far as pure reach goes, Sarukian actually has 2 inches of pure reach, but the height advantage for Makachev and the legs obviously is going to be his direction as well. So this is interesting. I think Makachev usually is the bull, and he's basically going to be able to exploit most matchups in that way. But in this one here against another solid wrestler, can he get him down? Can he control him? Can he kind of slow this fight down and take away some of the weapons Sarukian has to offer here? I don't know. It's going to be tough. So it is another spot where I think it is a dog or pass situation. But as far as a pure pick goes, I'm going to have to see Sarukian come in here and get the win over Makachev and stifle some of those takedown attempts and just make this fight that he wants, you know, to the way it's he, to take to dictate it and the way he wants it to play out as a whole. If he's able to do that against one of the top tier lightweight contenders, I mean, even the UFC putting him in the spot against Makachev tells you a lot. They think he's ready. They look like he can at least hang. And this is a co-main event type of fight as well. So a lot of hype behind the debuting Sarukian. And I think that obviously a lot of reasons for that. So this is not going to be an easy fight for Makachev, but I do expect him to still, I think, outgrind and just kind of outpoint Sarukian in this spot here and get the decision win. So I think it's going to be a tough fight. I'm expecting Makachev to come away with the win, but it's definitely another spot where you pick Makachev, but it's a dog or pass situation, because I wouldn't lay the juice. I wouldn't lay that chalk against a guy like Sarukian from what I've seen thus far. I think the sky's the limit for him, and he could definitely keep on improving. And if he gets this win, I mean, definitely keep your eye on this guy.
And I understand Sarukian is a very talented fighter. I mean, you look at his performances, and he has multiple submissions on the canvas. And then on the feet, he's actually a pretty dangerous fighter. I mean, he has a TKO spinning back kick to the body stoppage. He has a head kick stoppage most recently against Felipe Oliveri. So I definitely feel like this guy is capable of getting the victory, especially I know that if it goes to the ground, he's going to be game because he has a strong grappling game. But Makachev is most vulnerable on the feet. I mean, that's the only time he's ever lost was he was screwing around. He was throwing some spinning stuff against Adriano Martins, and he just got blasted and finished. So, I mean, if anything, I think Sarukian has an advantage in the stand-up and could potentially end it there. But Makachev, since that loss, has smartened up. I mean, he gets fights to the floor, and he gets them there in a hurry, and then he just completely dominates his opponents on the canvas. And he's done it against some good guys. I mean, Makachev has taken down a really strong wrestler in Chris Wade and out-grappled him over the course of 3 rounds. He out-grappled Nick Lentz, another pretty strong wrestler. Gleison Tebow is a guy that has some of the most takedowns in lightweight history, and he was able to put him away quickly. And then most recently got the fight against Cajun Johnson, a savvy vet, to the floor, got an armbar. So, I mean, Makachev has learned from his mistake. And I don't think he's going to screw around on the feet against somebody with some dangerous kicking ability and with some sneaky power. So even though Sarukian is a talented grappler, I think Makachev is still the superior grappler. I mean, this guy just makes things happen on the canvas, and he's able to get those transitions going and get top position and then really get to work. And I've been impressed quite a bit with what I've seen with Makachev once a fight hit goes to the floor. And I think that that's what happens here. And I think he gets top position at least grinds this out and potentially gets a finish. But mark my words, this is not the last you've seen of Armin Sarukian. I think this guy has a bright future as well. But man, this is a tough UFC debut for him. I think Makhachev's a top 15 lightweight, and for Sarukian to have to try to beat that in his UFC debut, that's tough. That's asking a lot. So I'm going to side with Makhachev. Now, this brings us to the main event of the evening. We have Alistair Overeem, who is 44-17, taking on Alexei Oleinik, who is 57-11-1. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Overeem minus 245, the comeback on Oleinik plus 175. And right now what we're seeing over at BetDSI, Overeem minus 222, the comeback on Oleinik plus 196. Interesting fight. Man, I tell you what, you got to give Oleinik a lot of credit. He's stepping in this fight, obviously on short notice, and he's stepping in against one of the best heavyweights on the roster and one of the best heavyweights, honestly, in MMA of all time. If you look at what Overeem's accomplished throughout his career, you can kind of consider them in that tier of fighters for sure. But Oleinik, man, he's a savvy vet. Another one of these guys that's been around the sport for a long time. And I honestly, like I said, he's getting older. Another one of these spots where obviously he's aging, but I don't think he's ever been better as far as skill, as far as confidence goes and effectiveness, man. I mean, Oleinik is a dangerous guy on the mat. We know that. Even standing up, his Ezekiel chokes can be very effective. I mean, he's proven that time and time again. So this guy, if he gets you to the floor, I mean, it's a wrap in most cases. Now, Overeem does have a pretty good ground game. He's got really good takedown defense overall as well. Another Curtis Blaydes fight kind of, you know, contradicted that a little bit. But overall, I mean, Overeem's takedown defense is definitely very solid. He's not an easy guy to get to the ground. So that's where Oleinik is going to have problems here. I mean, typically speaking, if Oleinik can get the fight to the ground, he can dominate his opponents. But here in this spot, I don't think he's going to be able to get Overeem down with ease. So he's going to have to strike with Overeem. And obviously, Overeem is by far the better striker on the feet here. The only concern about Overeem, honestly, in this spot is Oleinik does have that old man strength, that power. I mean, he's definitely able to just land a bomb and possibly clip Overeem's chin. I mean, Overeem's chin has been my biggest fear. Anytime you pick him, bet him, whatever the case may be with Overeem, these days at least, against a guy that has some heavy hands, you got to be concerned. There's no question. That's his kryptonite, Overeem's chin. So if his chin survives against Oleinik here, Overeem should roll in this fight. I mean, he should have his way with Oleinik, like I said, even in the clinch, on the feet. I mean, he's a better striker. He should be able to keep this fight upright. So if his chin holds, Overeem rolls. And I think that's probably the rightful scenario here, right? Oleinik, again, you got to give him respect. He could possibly land that bomb, but I don't think he gets it to the floor unless he does so. And if he does land that bomb, obviously, I don't think he's going to need to choke out Overeem because Overeem is going to be pretty much out. So Oleinik maybe follows up with a couple punches and it's out. So that's his path to victory, but I don't see him getting it done here against Overeem. I just think it's a bad stylistic matchup for him. So if he doesn't get that punch, he's not going to win. I think Overeem is definitely the better fighter as a whole, and I think he's prepared to come in here and get the W over Oleinik, and he probably finishes job himself at some point along the way, obviously. So the pick is Overeem. It's hard not to pick him in this spot. It's just a bad stylistic matchup for Oleinik.
Yeah, I think most people think that if Olenek's going to win this fight, he's going to drag it to the floor, but Overeem has pretty strong takedown defense. I mean, the only guy that's really been able to do anything to him on the ground has been Curtis Blaydes, who's one of the best wrestlers in the heavyweight division, if not the best, beyond Cormier. And Overeem has an underrated ground game as well. I mean, the guy has a nasty guillotine choke. We've seen him get some wrestling going himself, get top position, beat some people up from top position on the canvas. So to expect that Oleinik is going to be able to drag this to the ground, I mean, the only way that I can see Oleinik getting anything going against Overeem on the ground is if he pulls guard and invites Overeem to take full mount and then sneaks an Ezekiel choke again. But I think Overeem is hard enough to avoid that trap. He trains with some really smart people, and they've kind of seen what Oleinik is capable of doing and the setups for that Ezekiel choke that he's so famous for. So honestly, Oleinik's best chance to victory is knocking Overeem out, and he's not as technical of a striker as Overeem. He's not even close to as technical of a striker as Overeem, but Overeem is not very durable, so all it really takes is that one good shot. I mean, we've seen it before. Oleinik had a fight where he was the one that got hurt, and then his opponent rushed in, and Oleinik just clipped him right on the chin and knocked him out cold. So Oleinik definitely does have the power to change the momentum of this fight at any moment. And even if Overeem does hurt Olenek, he needs to be cautious, because the second he lets his guard down, Olenek could clip him. So that's something you always have to be worried about in Overeem fight, like Nick mentioned. So I think Overeem does the smart thing and keeps his distance, works the long range game with some kicks, with jabs, and then picks those moments to step in and land a big left hand. I think it's only a matter of time, though, before Overeem does connect and do some damage, but they might have a little bit of a staring contest at first, because Overeem is going to be a little cautious. But I think at some point Overeem does get into a groove and he lands some good shots, and Olenek doesn't really have a very good chin either, and it's very likely that at some point Overeem hurts him and puts him away. So I've been a big fan of Olenek, and I've seen him pull off some impressive victories against some people that I did not think that he was going to beat. But I'm expecting that Overeem gets the job done here, most likely by knockout by the second round. So Overeem's going to be my pick. So that'll do it for our full event breakdown for UFC on ESPN Plus 7. Now, if we have a free play to give out, make sure to follow at MMAOBPremium on Twitter, because that's where we'll post him first. We can also notify you of our free bets via email alert if you prefer that method. Just send an email to picks@MMAOddsBreaker.com and we'll add you to a free bet mailing list. Special thanks to BetDSI. Good luck, everyone, and hopefully the betting gods are on your side this weekend.